I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Hi,
I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Your faith growing stronger, we're talking about faith in God. Faith in Him is the result of learning about Him from His words, from His Spirit, learning who He is, what He is, His ways, and His will. And then if you'll trust that and act on that, then you learn Him by experience. And this should be ongoing your whole life, that you learn about Him from the Word, and then you learn about Him from experience, in hearing from Him, obeying Him, and you will find that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every time you trust Him, you believe in Him, and you follow Him and obey Him without exception, you will see that He has been faithful, completely trustworthy, unfailing, and that He always was looking out for you. Amen. For your best interest. Mm-hmm. Now, He does require faith. It's not optional. Mm-hmm. He requires it, mm-hmm. which is not unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's never lied to you, mm-hmm. you should trust them.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody who has never one time let you down, you should trust them. Especially as you walk with Him, and more times you see Him come through, then you should even be quicker to trust Him. It require less understanding, less explanation. Mm. If He said it, that's good enough.
Amen.
You're ready to go. Now, you don't trust everybody else that way.
That's right.
But Him, you do. Somebody say, Lord.
Lord,
I trust You.
Without
question.
Without question.
Without reservation.
Without reservation.
I trust you. Father, we do. That is our choice. That is our heart. If we've come short of it in times past, we forgive us. For we desire to fully trust You and fully follow You. Reveal to us, Lord, the next steps to take and the next things that we need. Add them to us and minister them to us that we may come up higher. We ask You for utterance and anointing today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You.
Would you go please again to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We have been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're building our faith in this area by feeding in on the Word in this area. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scriptures. Now we've expanded that. We're going to 40 reasons from Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. If you believe this, it makes you happy. Without exception.
Hmm?
You don't fully believe this and stay depressed about it.
Yeah.
Hmm? Come on, say it out loud. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For me.
For me.
Now, this is a big part of our walking by faith life. Sowing, reaping, learning how to hear from God And I mean, the material and financial and physical miracles that you see in the scriptures and in Jesus' own life and ministry, they required trust and obedience. Like, you know, when they needed tax money. And Peter committed them when he shouldn't have. And Jesus said, well, lest they be offended, go fishing. Right? Mm-hmm. Cast a line. And the first fish that comes up, look in his mouth. And wow, there's money. You know, showing how easy it is and how many myriad ways God can do things and take care of things that you would have never dreamed of. Who would have thought? It's tax time. I got to go fishing. But God, He does things like this on purpose to show you that His ways and His means are unlimited, unrestricted. So never think, well, because of the economic conditions here, I won't be able to have what I need. What's that got to do with anything? Is God still God there?
Yes.
Can He hear you there from there? Yes. If God can hear you from there, He can take care of you there.
Amen.
Right? Yes. And we saw one of our reasons in our study was God taking care of them in the wilderness. There was nothing out there. No food, no water, nothing. And He fed those, million plus people for 40 years. They had multiple meals a day with no grocery store in sight, no farmland, no crops in sight. Somebody say, He can do it.
He can do it.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Well, in the book of Acts, our 30th reason that we're looking at now, and let's just, for time's sake, let's just go to chapter 4. And notice in the end of the chapter there, verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace, great power, great witness. Great unity and complete provision. The next verse says, neither was there any among them that lacked. Not a single individual out of 10,000 plus people was going without. None of them lacked. But all of them were unified in their focus of fulfilling the Great Commission, seeking first the kingdom, preaching the gospel, and fulfilling His word. So it says, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this perhaps later, but possessors means owners. Mm-hmm. It'd do you no good if you had three mortgages on a place and you sold it. Well, then, you know, you're not able to give a big offering, mm-hmm. right? You just pay off your debts, mm-hmm. unless you were upside down, and then you still owe. But no, does God want His people to have some riches
yes.
and possessions?
Yes.
You can't do things like this if you don't have things like this, and you don't own free and clear. Some things like this. Was it good that some people had this?
Yes.
Hmm? Has God changed?
No.
Would it still be good today?
Yes.
That people have now, you know, some say, well, that everybody will have it. Sadly, not everybody's going to believe what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So no. There's people will fight this. And so they won't be bothered with it. Which is all the reason why you and I need to do it. Huh? Because there need to be folks in the body of Christ that have extra.
Yes.
Amen. Hmm? That are able Amen. To pull things and able to put together large things. And God will use you if you'll volunteer. If you'll obey with $5, he can trust you with 50.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
If you'll obey with 50,
yes,
he can trust you with 5,000.
Yes.
Y'all awake or not?
Yes.
If he can trust you with 5,000,
yes,
he could trust you with 1,000,000.
Yes.
Hmm? But if it ever gets to the point where it's too big for you to turn loose, then that's where you're capped. He can't use you beyond the point of your fear. You got to overcome that fear of running out. And you can't love money. It can't be something that you're in awe of. You know, when you hear a big amount, you shouldn't just swoon and go, $5 million? Whoo! When God hears numbers like that, it doesn't raise an eyebrow.
Right.
Trillions, yeah, don't raise an eyebrow with him. He creates stars, mm-hmm, and galaxies, right?
Right.
An amount of money is never going to move him. To him, it's the tiniest little thing. So what it is to you can be a limiter. If it's too big to you, it's not too big to God, but if it's too big to you, you can wind up limiting the Holy One of Israel in your life, like the psalmist said. I know a while back, recently, in just last year, we were doing some things and some numbers got bigger than what we had dealt with before. And once in a while, I'm thinking, wow, you know, these numbers are kind of getting up there, you know. And the Lord, this is what he said to me. He said, son, you need to get used to bigger numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get used to bigger numbers.
Amen.
I said, yes, sir.
Yes.
I need to get you. Why? There was a time, you know, when $50 looked real big to me.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But we sowed that and it didn't look so big. And then as years went by, you know, hundreds looked so big, and then 1,000 looked so big. And the way your insides and your vision increases is obedience in handling an amount where you are. And if it can flow out of you, then bigger can flow to you. Can you see this?
Amen.
And it said, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, because they owned them, and so all the proceeds were free and clear. They could do what they wanted to with them. And in this case, they laid them down at the apostles' feet for them to do what the church needed. And distribution, everybody say distribution,
distribution,
was made to every man according as he had need. Go with me to the book of Luke, Luke the 18th chapter. Now, this is the same account that we looked at in Mark 10 on yesterday's class. But you'll find details in one of these writings, gospel accounts, that you don't find in the other. And when you put them all together, you get a fuller picture. In Luke the 18th chapter, the scriptures tells about verse 18, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 22, when the man said concerning the commandments, I've done these, I've kept these from my youth. When Jesus heard these things, he said to him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all you have and distribute. There's that word.
Mm-hmm.
Distribute to the poor. God does things in the earth through people. The head of the church does things through his body. Through, you know, we are the hands of the body, the church. We are the feet of the body. The Bible said, God has placed all of us, all the members, into the body as it has pleased him. And members are grouped together according to function.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
You know, you wouldn't put a right hand at the end of the left leg.
No.
Right?
Right?
that'd be a problem. Because it's not designed to carry the full weight of the body. It's designed for other things. Why am I saying this? Because you got people that were born again and God put them in the right place. But because of their carnality and their wrong thinking, they got their feelings hurt, they got offended, whatever, and they left their place. And they have tried to plug in a part of the body where they don't fit. And depending on how carnal you are, you'll blame everybody else because things are not right. Like one individual said, one preacher said that, you know, we all have our different graces and places, somebody's graced to be a plumber, but he goes to the roofer church, then he's always pushing to install a sink and toilets up on top of the roof, and nobody will agree with it. It's frustrating for everybody, right? And it's not that he's wrong. It's not that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. He's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Hmm? Now, this matters. Yeah. This is a big deal. It matters that you go where you are directed and led, and you stay where you are stationed. Mm-hmm. If Jesus is your Lord, you're not free to just bounce around and leave this and quit this and try this and do 20 different things. And, people say, well, there's so many immature people over there, and there's so many problems over there at this place. Well, if you found the perfect place, when you joined it, you'd mess it up.
Yes.
You're not going to find a place that's perfect in every way. People are like you. But the big thing is, if you're where the Lord puts you, there's grace to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you can overcome the issues. And you can work with whatever's going on because there's grace to do it and grace to be it. Pray. Spend time praying about this. And be serious with God. And if you need to, repent and go back to where God put you to start with. Because that's the only place and places that you're graced and where things are right and where you'll be fruitful like you should be. In the 18th chapter, he said, Jesus said, verse 22, sell what you have, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. You'll see Jesus refer to this transfer from earth to heaven. And this is referred to in the book of Philippians. In fact, hold your place here in Luke. Go to Philippians and look at it, the 4th chapter. This is a letter by the Spirit of God through Paul to his partners there at the church of Philippi. And he said, verse 4:14 of Philippians, he said, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. And if you read the context, he's calling lack affliction. You Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. How many know it's not supposed to just be giving? But there's always supposed to be what?
Receiving.
Giving and receiving. Sowing and reaping. Seed time and harvest. Always supposed to be a harvest. Even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Account. Whose account? Your account. The account of the people that gave. Where is this account he's talking about? The First Bank of Philippi? Where? Huh? No. No. He's talking about what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, in fact, let's go back there. Let's look at it because he said more about this. Verse 18:22, sell what you have, distribute to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Is that real? Is that something you should care about?
Yes.
Now, here's what he says about it. If you skip down to verse 28, you know, the rich young ruler said, he's not going to do it. So he left sad and grieved. And then Peter spoke up as he was leaving and said, well, we've done it, Lord. We left everything and followed you. What about us? Verse 29, he said, verily, I say to you, there's no man that has left house, our parents, our brethren, our wife, our children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. In Mark, it says that he said hundredfold now in this time. Well, hundredfold is manyfold.
Yes.
You're saying the same thing, just with, like I said, you have to read all the accounts to get all the detail. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in yesterday's class that Phyllis and I, from the time we left our home back in the late 70s to go follow the ministry, from that time till now, we've seen a thousandfold increase in from what we had to what we have now. But the Lord pointed out to me, yeah, but it wasn't a thousand of what you left that first time. What you left the first time, over the next 20 years or so, there was a hundredfold of that. Then you left again. Can you see this? There was a hundredfold of that. Then you left again. That's how you got to the thousandfold. It wasn't just a thousandfold of that, but it's like the scripture said, hundredfold. Not just every offering that you gave, but things that you left to follow the Lord. Things that you turned loose of, walked away from, left. And we did. I left my hot rod sitting out in the front yard. I left everything as it was. I left my motorcycle, which I was a big fan of my motorcycle. But the Lord pointed out to me that I cared too much about those things. I had spent so much time wrenching and spending every dollar I had trying to make something faster or more powerful. The Lord dealt with me. And at that point, I didn't know but what I'd be done with it forever. But He just pointed out to me, just like this young man, it means too much to you. You need to turn it loose and follow me. But, 20 years later, the Lord showed me I could have one if I wouldn't spend too much time with it. And then, if you can give something, then you can enjoy it without it meaning too much. If you can't give it away, that tells you, right? Like the rich young ruler, he couldn't walk away from it. So that showed what a problem it was. Look in Matthew, the 6th chapter, because now we will have looked at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 6, verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Does that mean you can't have any savings?
No.
No. What does it mean? You want to be aware of spiritual things, not just natural things. This life, this earth, these material things, this is not all there is. And all of this stuff is temporary. It is soon to be gone. So if it's temporary, it has no eternal value. It has only temporary use. The only value of any money down here, or any houses or clothes or jewelry or vehicles or whatever, the only use of, none of them have any eternal value because they don't last for eternity. They only have the value of temporary use. That's all they're good for. But there are eternal things. And you can transfer natural things to eternal. For smart people. Matthew 6, 19, Jesus is giving us some divine kingdom financial advice. He pulls you aside and he says, hey, There are eternal heavenly accounts that never end, that never diminish or devalue. And you can transfer things from here to there by giving.
Hallelujah.
So don't just pile it up on the earth. Why? Because storing it up takes it out of circulation, takes it out of use. Well, it's only good for a little while anyway. So what are you doing? If you just store it, what's occurring? Rot and rust, unless somebody steals it first. Now, did I make this up?
No.
Look, what did he say? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. There's no such thing as a 100% sure, safe investment on planet earth. No matter what anybody tells you, somebody says, yeah, but it's a 150-year-old company. It can go broke tomorrow. Don't you doubt it. Nothing certain and sure down here. But lay up for yourselves, for who? This is for you. Just like what he said about the account, your account. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where the moth is not going to rot it and the rust is not going to corrupt it and thieves can't get to it to steal it. It's safe. It's secure. It's never going away. You'll never lose it. It'll never be worth less.
Hallelujah.
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 And if you move your treasure there, that's where your heart is. Because where your treasure is where your heart. See, when the Lord told the rich young ruler, sell what you got and give, it's about his heart. Can you see that?
Yes.
He's not wanting money. He didn't even tell him to give it to me. He said, give it to the poor. But it's about his heart. If God's got your heart, He's got your money.
Yes.
He's got every, right? If he don't have your money, does he have your heart? You see what we're saying? Say it out loud, Lord.
Lord.
You have my heart.
You have my heart.
And my money.
And my money.
Everything.
Everything.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We'll see you next time in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.